As we continue our readings from the prophet Jeremiah this month, we come this week to chapter 8, verse 18 through chapter 9, verse 1. In these verses, we find a heartbreaking lament by Jeremiah for Judah, who has abandoned God. Let us listen together for God's word. My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician here? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people.
Our gospel reading for this morning comes to us from Luke's gospel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, which is sometimes referred to as the parable of the dishonest manager. Let us listen together for God's word. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. Dear ones, let's be together in prayer. God, breathe into this place that we might breathe you in. Open us, expand us, widen us, awaken us, for there is need for your word and your people. Amen. I love love songs. I love them fast, I love them slow. I love rock love songs and hip-hop love songs and folk love songs. I love love songs in the morning, I love them in the afternoon, and I love them in the evening. I love love songs. And it's a good thing too, right? Because love songs are everywhere all of the time, aren't they? I did some research this week as I was driving from Underhill to Williston. And in the time it took me to drive to Williston, I listened to 18 different songs, parts of 18 songs, as I scanned the dial. And to my accounting, of those 18 songs, 17 of those songs were love songs, with the 18th song being the lone standout was a sea shanty. Now, I don't think that my results of that research was abnormal. I think that it was normal. I think that we love love songs. And I think that because we love them, music writers write them and radio stations play them, and we consume them sometimes to the exclusion of all the other kinds of songs there are. Which doesn't usually bother me because, you know, I love love songs, but sometimes a love song just won't cut it. So it was December 14th, 2012. I remember the date. You see, Deirdre and I were doing some Christmas shopping for the boys, and we got out of a toy store, and we came out to the car laden with gifts, and we put the gifts into the back of the car, and we got into the car, and we turned on the radio as we often do. And maybe this happened to you that day. We were confronted with the horrifying news of a shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. We were shocked to hear that 26 people had been shot, and many of them were young elementary school kids. We were shocked, we were outraged, we were angry, we were sad. And when we couldn't take the news reports anymore, we turned the radio dial to another station where, of course, guess what we heard? We heard a love song. And given the situation, it was like fingers on a chalkboard. Went straight through us, so we turned the radio off, and it took me another week or so to turn the radio back on. So fast forward now to this week, and I was driving around in my car again, and I turned on the radio as I often do, and I was confronted again with the news. There had been yet again, once again, another mass shooting in this country. It wasn't an elementary school this time. It was a Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. Did you hear that 12 people were shot to death and 8 people were wounded by a gunman? We may never know why he did it. So when I was done with the news reports, I had learned my lesson back in December, so I just turned the radio off. You know, I love love songs, but sometimes they just won't cut it. And when we're confronted with violence and death and suffering and pain, sometimes we need another song to sing. Sometimes we need another song to hear. So I'm grateful this morning for the prophet Jeremiah, who very long ago sang not a love song, but a lament song. Some of you may remember, I've said this a few times over the past few weeks, but Jeremiah was a man who lived in the 7th century BCE. He was called by God to be a prophet, to be God's mouthpiece, to speak God's word into the world. The problem was is that the word he had to speak was hard, because the people had turned away from God. They had worshipped other gods. They had stopped treating one another fairly. They had abandoned justice. They were oppressing the aliens and the outsiders in their midst. And we're told in chapter 7 how they were using the religious system, the priests and the temples, as a way to just whitewash their sin and sort of to rubber stamp their bad behavior. So by the time we get to chapter 8 in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is at the end of his rope. He's got no song left to sing, but a lament song composed from pain and grief for a people that he loves who will not listen and who will not change. My joy is gone, my grief is upon me, he wails. The summer is past, the harvest is ended, he observes. I wish that I could weep day and night. Where is the balm in Gilead, he wonders, referring to the ancient cure-all salve. In his moaning, maybe it sounds to our ears like he's complaining. Maybe it sounds like he's wagging his finger and scolding his people like an elementary school teacher might scold an unruly class. There's more going on, though, than mere complaining this morning. You see, by the time we reach chapter 8, Jeremiah is at the end of his rope. God is at the end of God's rope. But rather than just throw their hands up, rather than abandon the people, they do what they can to hold on. And they do that by singing a lament. Now let's be honest, like ministry, that word is a churchy word. It's a dusty word. It's sort of a funny word that we're never quite sure what it means, but it's an important word because it explains a way of holding on in the midst of pain and grief and suffering. And so lament is what we do when we're at the end of our rope and we refuse to let go anyway. You see, lament is a way of holding on that dares to say that all is not well. Lament is a way of holding on that admits that the summer is gone and the healing is moving beyond reach. You see, lament cries destruction while also holding on with white knuckles to hope. So Jeremiah in chapter 8, he's at the end of his rope. And so rather than sing a love song, he sings a lament song as a way of holding on to the people who are slipping away. We don't all like Jeremiah. The weeping prophet, as he's sometimes called. He's too sad, he's too depressing, he's too weepy. We like love songs. We like the story that the storm clouds are passing and the sunshine is on its way. We are like those people in a passage just before our passage this morning, where Jeremiah names those people who cry, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. We are those oftentimes when confronted with pain and suffering and violence and death and mass shootings, we're those who move to minimize it or somehow to smooth it over, which is a hard thing for us to admit about ourselves. So whether we like Jeremiah or not, it's true that we are desperate for him, because have you not heard? 27 people died in Newtown last year. 13 people died on Monday in Washington, D.C. That since 1982, I counted, there have been 67 mass shootings in this country. Did you not know that all is not well? All is not well. All is not well. And so, friends, if we're going to hold on to this country and to the people in it who we love, we're going to have to learn how to lament like Jeremiah. We're going to have to learn how to say to one another that all is not well. We're going to have to scream from the rooftops that something is terribly, terribly wrong with us when there are mass shootings every couple of months. And we are going to have to love one another and love ourselves enough to say the hard word that Jeremiah had to say so long ago, that moving away from God has a cost that can be measured in violence and measured in the suffering of God's people. I love love songs, don't you? I love them fast, I love them slow, I love rock ones and hip-hop ones and country ones. I love them in the morning and the afternoon and the evening, and it's a good thing that I love them because they're everywhere all the time. But you know, it's true that sometimes a love song just won't cut it. And sometimes what we need is a lament song. A lament song like one I'm just about to play for us from the band U2, who wrote a song back in 2000 called "Peace on Earth," in response to a bombing in Northern Ireland. You see, like Jeremiah, U2 is unwilling to cry peace, peace when there is no peace. Like U2, Jeremiah, U2 is willing to say that all is not well, all is not well. Like Jeremiah, U2 is willing to say the hard word that moving away from God has a cost that can be measured in violence. And so, like Jeremiah, you two sing not a love song, but a lament song as a way of holding on to the people and to the world they love. So let's listen. Ushers, if you could turn off the lights, please. It's about 4 minutes long. So not an easy song, not an easy passage from Jeremiah, not an easy word this morning, but an important one, I think. In Christ's name and for the life of this whole world, we're trying to hold on to. Amen.